What was he saying?
Let me see here. He's got to be. It's issued under the name of a group called something about Fairness and the Prisoners of War or something. But it is the Law Students Against the War organization that put this out, and their claim in the press release is that this was the display is an unprecedented event, and that Mr. Perot evaded the law, which says that only U.S. property can be in the Capitol, by giving Zablocki the exhibit, and then Zablocki went and received approval from Mr. McCormick, the Speaker, mm-hmm. and then from the Senate. They have now made a display of the Khan San tiger cages, pictures of them, and have added a few other pictures, I guess, of things that have happened in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going to seek to give it to some member of Congress, who will then seek to give it to the Speaker, to have it displayed alongside of the other display,
mm-hmm.
in order to bring some what they say balance into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main. But the other part is they also I'm not sure that this is in the release, but this was told to me by a newspaper man friend of mine who was the first to call me about it,
mm-hmm.
and who said he'd send it to me. And he, I believe, had talked to somebody over at their organization, or somebody had been in to see him, that they are going to expose Mr. Perot, that on the grounds that his interest in the prisoners has some kind of ulterior motive, and that they had evidence of this.
I see.
And this was to be done at a press conference, which I think is to be held today. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't.
And then they're going to hold another subsequent press conference to unveil their display that they want in the Capitol. And the American Civil Liberties Union has pledged to sue. I'm not sure who. I suppose the Speaker, if this other display is not allowed in the Capitol.
I see.
Now our reaction to this, I talked to Congressman Zablocki immediately upon having heard of this, and I had hoped that by today I would have had I'm sure it must be the mails, because it was both people promised to send it to me, and I trust that they did.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't been received here yet.
I see.
That, it doesn't bother Zablocki at all.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't bother us either. Let them have.
This friend of mine, the newspaper man, Chicago sometimes, he said he doubts that anybody's going to go to the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
He said he isn't going to go over, and he doesn't know that many there are, and he said he didn't think that it was going to be taken very seriously.
Right. So I had a letter from Mr. Greenfield on written July 10,
mm-hmm.
and he had called earlier saying that he was a student from Wisconsin.
Oh, is that the guy? Yes, I did talk to him.
Yeah, it's the same man.
Well, he said he misrepresented himself.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Were you in any way taken in by this?
Oh, no. I
probably should have called you, but I didn't.
No, I talked to him on the phone, and he was saying that he wanted to write interested in writing a story about this excellent display, how
right.
it was conceived, so forth and so on. So I told him to drop us a letter, and we'll be happy to give him, any information that he wanted. So he wrote and he said, "In case you do not remember our conversation, I am an undergraduate student at the University of Wisconsin who is working here in Washington this summer. I saw the United We Stand sponsored POW display at the Capitol, and in the interest of possibly writing a story on how this excellent display was conceived, I would greatly appreciate any information you could send to me concerning (1) how all the arrangements for the display were made and by whom. (2) the history, goals, and purposes of United We Stand, including, if at all possible, a complete membership list of the directors, sponsors, etc. of United We Stand. Thank you ever so much for your help. Yours truly, Steve Greenfield." To which I answered, Dear Mr. Greenfield, thank you for your letter of July 10th and for your kind words regarding the replicas now on display in the Capitol. As I explained to you in our telephone conversation, the replicas are an extension of Mr. Perot's testimony concerning prisoners of war before the House Subcommittee on Foreign Affairs on May 1, 1970. I feel quite certain that members of that committee could detail for you what they did to place the replicas in the Capitol building. Regarding your questions concerning the history, goals, and purposes of United We Stand, we are a nonpartisan, nonprofit corporation founded with the hope of better informing the citizens of this country without trying to sell any particular philosophy. We do not have members. There are no dues. Hoping this information proves helpful, I am sincerely.
Well, yeah, I didn't connect that fellow that called. He was called the, when I called him back, I wasn't here originally, but I heard some numerals, or some letters rattled off. I said, when I picked him, you know, when he told me who he was, I said, well, are you a newspaper man? Who do you work for? And then he kept backtracking. And finally, I said, well, now, what were those initials the man said when he answered the phone? He said, well, that's, LSAW, Law Students Against the War.
Mm-hmm.
And he, but then at that point, that didn't seem to. At that point, I understood rather well what his intention.
Right.
And
right.
I understand. Mr. Perola called me early this morning.
Did you get to talk with him?
Yes. Now he's here in town, I understand.
Yes, he is. He's leaving there this afternoon.
He is. Well. I did not get out of the hearing until about 1:30, and by the time I called his hotel room, he had left.
I see.
So you can tell him that. And the other thing I think I ought to talk to you at this point about, I think under the circumstances, that as far as the display is concerned, I think that it would be best that Mr. Zablocki and I have talked it over, and he has made an inquiry at the Defense Department to let the Defense Department have this display when we're finished.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all right with you?
No, that's fine with us.
Okay,
sure.
Now,
sure.
You see, because if it is government property, to give back government property would take some kind of action, formal action. Now, we can give it, transfer the ownership to another government agency like the Defense Department without any fuss, muss, or bother, and they can handle the logistics.
Right.
Of making it available to other organizations, which and if they decide to make it available to your organization or to take your advice as to where it ought to be sent, I'm sure that can be arranged with Colonel Work and some of the others.
That's okay. Very, very good. Very
right,
good,
well,
Jack. If you hear of anything that you feel we should know about this afternoon, give us a call.
Yeah, I suppose I should have called you yesterday about it, but.
There's no big problem.
I was really, it happened very late in the day, and I was really unaware.
I would like to, do you know where I could get a copy of the press release or have someone read it to me?
I'll send you one. I wish I had one. I'll tell you one fellow who took Colonel Hinkle. Do you know Colonel Hinkle?
Colonel Hinkle.
He works for the Twin Circle Press.
I've met him.
He's going to be with the Liberty Lobby, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He snatched the whole bundle of them out of the press club and took them out to his office and then offered to send them over here. And he, I think, has them in his office if you'd want to give him a call.
Good, I'll try to reach him then.
He's one that was supposed to send them to me, and I'm sure he did.
Right.
And if you wanted to get the exact text of it, I'm sure he could read it and you could have some of your stenographers take it down.
Very good.
But I think that you would, the primary thing you'd be interested in, I suppose, would be this press conference, wherever and whenever it is. And
right.
I think it was to have been today at some location in the city.
Right. I'll check that out then.
Okay. Fine.
Jack, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, John.
It's summarized pretty well in the poop I'm sending you, see?
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Greenfield, he's a student from the University of Wisconsin.
Yes.
He's a pre-law student, a very bright young man, incidentally.
Mm-hmm.
But his appearance is against him. They had one TV crew there from Channel 5, which is the WTTG, which is the Metro Media.
Mm-hmm.
It won't get national coverage, They had about six newspapermen. That was the redeeming feature. There were only about six newspapermen there, but they had the usual hangers-on of the hippies and yippies and what have you, about 30 of those, you see.
Mm-hmm.
The editors, the underground paper editors and people, you know, that would be
right.
have an affinity for this sort of stuff.
Right.
Now, Greenfield had about, I managed to get his text, and I'm shooting it down to you, and it's a pretty comprehensive text. He made the statement that immediately after the meeting, he was going over to some congressman who was thinking very seriously of sponsoring, in other words, accepting their display,
mm-hmm.
and appealing to Jordan and to McCormick to put it on side by side with the Perot display. You see,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and he would know a little later about that. They're going to have another press meeting, which will be announced, press conference, which will be announced, at which time they will announce what congressman. If any, and they think they'll get somebody to sponsor their own display, like Zamaki sponsored the Perot display, you see?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In addition to that, they will have the material that they will exhibit in their display on exhibit at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, as I explained to you yesterday, and you saw the memo.
Yes,
Mr.
I did.
Perot had the memo. They have these Kansan pictures, which they didn't get, they said, from Harkin.
Mm-hmm.
They told me that the other day. And also these other pictures of napalm kids and tortures. There was one major in the military intelligence. He quoted him. He didn't give his name. He said an Army MI major had taken a picture of a North Vietnamese suspect Viet Cong being tortured by South Vietnamese in the presence of two American advisors.
Mm-hmm.
And this American MI major was so disgusted he took a picture of it. He's out of the Army now, but they have the picture. They're going to blow that up too, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he criticized the Perot exhibit as being one-sided. and he tried to weasel around. And this is for the benefit of the TV crew, you see.
Right.
And they had another guy there who claimed to be a Vietnam vet. I talked to him afterwards. I can get his rundown on him from the Pentagon on Monday. He said he was with the 4th Division on the signal unit. And he said that he got up and made a very fiery speech in which he said that Perot was out to make money on the war, and he wanted to continue the war because the longer the war continued, the more money he made, you see.
Did he start out, or did anybody question him as to how he could make money?
It was such a firebrand speech, you know. It was incredible. But I said the only redeeming feature was there were very few newspaper men there. It reminded me of a student mobilization a press conference. At first, there was a great deal of interest by the press in that, you see. And then the more...
Were the wire services there?
I beg your pardon?
Were the wire services there?
So far as I know, they were. Yes, that's the problem, you see. Even if there were six reporters, say, the wire services... And
all right,
what
did the young men... Did they open themselves up to questions? And did
yes,
you
they
question,
did.
What questions did you ask them, or what did they
well,
say?
Well, I asked what Wachter, David, Wachter, was the guy who alleged that Mr. Perot wanted to prolong the war to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked if he had served in Vietnam. I thought he was a rear echelon clerk or something, you know, and he said he was a signal with the signal unit in the 4th Division.
Mm-hmm.
And we can check him up on that. But he looked the part. He looked like a regular hippie, a long beard, and regardless. And then they had the usual galaxy of supporters, the Women's Strike for Peace and the Clergymen and the Layman Concerned. They had one tall, gaunt-looking guy. They introduced him as a reverend representing the Friends Service Committee.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Morrison. The Friends don't have any reverends.
Right.
I was going to cry. I didn't have the time to get to him before he left, you see. But I can always check with the Friends Service Committee on him.
Where did Wachter say he was from?
He is from Washington. He went to school here. He's from Silver Spring, Washington.
Maryland. Silver Springs, Maryland.
That's right. Now, Stephen Greenfield... Stephen G. for George Greenfield, who is the chairman, he is told me the law students against the war, they have 60 chapters, 60 law schools around the country. Their headquarters in Washington. He himself is from Buffalo, New York, he told me.
Uh-huh.
And but he has quite a statement. I mean, it's all in there. I mean,
what about his plan? He said he was going to reveal that Mr. Perot had something or other. Did he try to do that?
Well, no, he didn't. He sort of backtracked a bit on his first statement for the TV. The audiovisual people asked him to make a statement, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that if Mr. Perot's exhibit showed the horror of war, well, it was useful. And somebody questioned him on it, and he came back and said that, in his opinion, the exhibit was one-sided. And therefore, they challenged it. And that's why the principal reason they were going to have their exhibits, you see, to get both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he also announced that the National Capital Area Chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union had agreed to take up the case with Jordan and McCormick.
Mm-hmm.
Greenfield said he had written to both men and that he had heard from Jordan. Jordan said that they couldn't sponsor it, in other words, they couldn't permit it to be shown, and McCormick had never asked his letter.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about a month ago.
Right.
He also said that the National Capital Area Chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union had agreed to if necessary, to go to court on this, and that a man by the name of William A. Bradford, B-R-A-D, B for boy, R-A-D-F-O-R-D, Jr., a Washington attorney, he gave the telephone number to,
mm-hmm.
had volunteered to handle the case for them.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of a related case. It's a little complicated, and I don't want to take too much of your time, but... The ACLU is suing to have the Women Strike for Peace exhibit in the Christmas pageant.
Mm-hmm.
They have on the monument grounds every year here.
Right.
Maybe you're familiar with it.
Yes, I am.
On one hand, there is a suit to abolish the Christmas pageant. The ACLU is pursuing. On the other hand, they're representing the Women Strike for Peace to get their tombstone exhibit in that Christmas strike for peace, that Christmas pageant, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But Greenfield did definitely say that the ACLU was going to take their case.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
Yes.
Now they were.
Did Greenfield try to say anything about United We Stand or question it in any way?
There was one or two references to that, but they didn't go into any details. The United We Stand was mentioned once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
They had about 10 speakers, you see. They all got up and spoke their piece. This Donald Little, they have some committee for on responsibility. I'll have to run that down and see what the hell that is, you see.
Mm-hmm.
She's a cute little trick. She looks like she's just still in high school, but she's, you know, that's one of the worst kind.
Yeah.
And she is in charge of the pictures. And she was the one who told about the MI major, the picture he took, about the Kanchan pictures they have.
Mm-hmm.
And
the only one that really got after Mr. Perot was Wachter.
Was Wachter. And also, Greenfield, of course, commented on it, you see. The bulk of his testimony, his statement, was dealt with the Perot exhibit and what they proposed to do about it, but being one-sided, etc., etc. They were challenging it, and so forth and so on. And this reverend from the front service got up, and I'm just going to go over my notes real quickly to see what the hell he said. Well, there's another gal... a rather plump young woman who is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. You know, they use the galaxy, you know, the ones that are attracted to something like this, you see.
Mm-hmm.
She took a slam at Perot, too. And she said that the immorality of the exhibit, and let's see. Oh, she said that the part of the Perot exhibit showed a rat-infested room. And she came out and said that the She added that we need to end the war to get the money to eliminate rat-infested rooms all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that. But the big point that Greenfield made, and I think it follows the commie line right down the middle, he said that he's quoting the Committee on Liaison and also this other girl whose name is on the top of that memo,
mm-hmm.
An Italian name. She looks Jewish, just between us. She reiterated the same thing that, you know, the North Vietnamese have promised that the prisoners will be released as when the war ends. And if we can get the United States to withdraw, and not only withdraw our forces, but also withdraw their support of the two government, have a coalition government, well, then even if we make a commitment, the North Vietnamese will release these prisoners. And they said they got that information within the last few days. The Committee on Liaison got the information. This gal, this Mrs. whatever her name is...
And if they will end the war, they will release the prisoners.
That's right.
Well, they've said that all along.
I know that, but she said that they got that in the... they talked to Mrs. Weiss, Cora Weiss, last night. And she said that Mrs. Weiss had given her the figure 1,004, I think, letters that have been... I think the 375, is that the figure that...
Have written...
Beg your pardon? That's right, that they know. That's right. And that the committee had forwarded 1,004, I thought she said. I know it was over 1,000 letters. This is according to Mrs. Weiss, as relayed by this woman who had I told you, she was the, sort of the co-chairman.
Yes.
And she's the women's strike.
Do you have the names of all of those people that spoke? Could you just look at your notes and give us the names?
Yes. Let's see, I'm going over very quick. It's David Wachter. You got his name.
Yes, that's W-A-C-H-T-E-R.
That W-A-C-H-T-E-R.
Okay.
And you got Stephen Greenfield.
Right.
I'm gonna, and wait a minute. Let me just check you real quick. I got so damn many notes here. Oh, yes, they all challenged the several of them, Greenfield and this woman and Wachter and the Reverend, who is this man, his name is Morrison. That's the one I got, Morrison, the Reverend Morrison from the Friends Service Committee.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to check him out because, you know, the Quakers don't have reverends.
Mm-hmm.
They all challenged the authenticity of the Perot exhibit. They said that they denied that the North Navies were that inhuman. They treated up, and they also took a slam at Frickman and the seaman, I forget his name now.
Hegdahl.
That's right. And they said that our prisoners were reasonably well treated according to the information they get through the Committee on Liaison.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it was ridiculous to assume that there were 1,500 and some are missing, as claimed, and that to attribute them all as prisoners in Vietnam. But nobody's making that statement.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they do know that they have 375, and their names have been released to their families, and they have a deep sympathy with the families, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So that in substance.
But they didn't come out with what he said he was going to try to prove what they said in their initial press release about Mr. Perot's ulterior motive in the POWs.
Well, the only one, Greenfield touched on it in his remarks, you see. He challenged the authenticity. He said if they wanted their exhibit, if they get it up, they wanted to expose it. It wasn't a true picture that was being presented. They also referred, they found out that this exhibit was going to state fairs, too, because that reference was made by Greenfield, too. And his extemporaneous remarks at the end of the thing, after he'd read his prepared statement.
Well, that exhibit's not, I don't know what they're going to do
with it.
With
the Perot exhibit.
No, I'm saying the Perot exhibit, I don't know where that exhibit in Washington is going, to any state fairs or not. That's
he mentioned state fairs.
Well, he doesn't know, that's the possession of the committee. And what they do
I see. Well,
what they do with it is their business.
I understand that. Well, anyway, you'll get the statement of what he said, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And he read it, so he leaned a hell of a lot on the New York Times.
Right.
Stories from the New York Times. He didn't really have anything that was terribly new, you see.
Right.
Except to announce that they were going to...
John, what's your home telephone number in case I need to call you?
I'll be home tonight. It's Emerson 35527.
35527.
It's 202.
Right.
You know the
yes,
area?
Yes, I do.
Incidentally, there was a hell of a lot of material that was given out. I've seen this material before, you see, at other press conferences,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But nothing like they had. Now, it wasn't this committee. It was all the organizations affiliated with, for instance,
yes.
The studies from the East Asian scholars at Cornell, and good God, they expensively put together.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one of a kind. I grabbed it all. I must have gotten at least... Murphy, 10 or 15 pounds of documents.
Is that right?
They had on tables around there, you see.
John, I've got another call on the other line. I do appreciate this, and I'll probably call you back tonight.
One last thing.
Yes.
I talked to John Havasta today, you know, the American Security Council.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he would like, I relayed your information that he called you, that you could put him in touch with Mr. Perot next week.
Right.
I think Mr. Fisher tried to get you yesterday.
Yes, he did, and I tried to get back to him, and he was out.
Oh, I see. Well, he's going to be away, I think, this week. But if you would talk, well, I think they do have something which is very... They didn't tell me this is none of my business, of course.
Yes.
They were very anxious to communicate with you. See?
Very good.
Now, is there any... I notice on your letterhead you have a box. Is it better to send the box or just straight to your office?
The box is better.
The box is... What is it? It's 1011 Exchange Place is your office.
That's right.
But I'll send it to the box. It'll go there. Special delivery air mail is on the way right now.
Very good.
I just came back from the conference.
Thank you very much.
And I'll have them call you next week. If you have any questions, call me. I'll be home all weekend.
John, I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Bye now.
Bye.
Sir.
Fine, thank you. I was going to call you, as a matter of fact.
Well, good. What's going on up there?
Well, your boss gave a tremendous talk last night.
Good.
Tremendous.
Good.
And it was well received and before a very strategic audience.
That's good.
These are the people who go out and speak, and there were many, many people commented on it afterwards, and a half a dozen or so got up at the end and said they wanted the text because they can use it in their own talks, you see.
Mm-hmm.
These are the platform speakers. They get around the country, so this is a unique way of getting the message across, you see.
That's good.
And now he said that he announced that anybody who wanted it would write to him in Dallas, you see. And
mm-hmm.
he didn't have a prepared text, which
right.
was a shame in a way, Murphy, because you don't mind me calling you Murphy.
No, not at all.
I'm John.
Right.
Because the papers, we could have gotten that to the papers.
Right.
They had a press room there and things like that. But anytime I can help you out on it, let me know. Just send me the advanced text or any highlights.
Very good.
I do that all the time, you see.
John, did you by chance get a copy of a press release that the law students are putting out about
this? Yes, sir, I did. And that's what I was going to call you about. Now, I gave Mr. Perot a copy of that. And I had a very brief chat with him. He was mobbed at the end, you know, so many people. And I walked down the hall with him, and I wish you'd explain this to him. I did not realize at the time that he was en route to an interview, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked down, we got in the press room, and then I saw the tape recording, and finally dawned on me he was going to be interviewed by one of the stations here, you see.
Right.
I understand also, I knew the people running the press room, that he was going to, for a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know about that? I guess you did.
Yes.
Well, what documentary is that?
This is one on the POW issue.
Oh, fine. One of the networks putting it out?
No.
But this is private.
Right.
I understand. Wonderful. Well, anyway, when I found out that, I ducked out. You see, meanwhile, I had a very brief chat with him, and I gave him this press release, which came out yesterday. They're
mm-hmm.
having a press conference at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Where are they having it?
They're having it at the Continental Hotel. Now, I had planned to cover it, and I would be very happy to send you any poop I get from it, Murphy.
Good.
To see what's going on.
Good.
I also did a little checking up, and I found out that it's the usual galaxy of anti-war groups all on the left side that
mm-hmm.
are sponsoring it. The law students, for instance, or the Women's Strike for Peace, and I got a whole list of them, you see. I checked.
Well, what did it say in reference to Mr. Perot, something about they plan to expose?
Well, I can read the whole thing to you if you...
If you would, please.
Well,
I'd
sure
love
I
to. I haven't.
I just came from the American Civil Liberties Union, incidentally. I was checking their angle. They're going to handle the case for this group, you see.
I see.
This is the Washington chapter.
Mm-hmm.
I just came from there. I just came in the office just 5 minutes ago, you see.
I see.
And I was trying to sound around there to see what was going on. Said, yes, they're going to take it. I didn't express my interest, you understand. I just said,
sure.
I'm a writer, which
sure.
is true. And actually, Murphy, I want to write a story about the PW exhibit. John Sullivan told me yesterday. I called him. He had heard about it. I had to send him a copy, too.
Mm-hmm.
See, they plastered the press building with copies of this news story. Now, I didn't see a single word in the paper today,
mm-hmm.
in the Post,
mm-hmm.
about it. And anyway, regardless, let me read it to you.
Good.
Crip display challenged. This is for immediate release, as of yesterday. Contact Washington Committee to put the prisoner of war issue into perspective. Washington Committee to put the prisoner of war issue into perspective. Now, that's quite a jawbreaker.
Yes.
Stephen Greenfield, now he runs the Lawyers Committee,
mm-hmm.
for peace, you see. I got his number here.
Right.
And Mrs. Edith Villastrigo, Villastrigo, it gives her numbers, too. I had a long chat with her last night, and she told me the people behind it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
The text of it is as follows. Now being challenged as a one-sided political propaganda tool is an unprecedented display currently appearing in the crypt of the United States Capitol, which claims to show authentic replicas of methods by which American prisoners of war are kept confined in Southeast Asia. Paragraph. The Washington Committee to put the prisoner of war issue into perspective, which is recently formed among several prominent Washington organizations in direct response to this controversial display, will hold a news conference on Friday, July the 31st at 2 p.m., at the Continental Hotel's Hunt Room. That is a good third-class hotel here, 420 North Capitol Street, Washington, D.C. At that time, the committee will reveal its past activities and future strategy intended to win the right to expand the scope of the current one-sided display by constructing its own exhibit in the Capitol crypt. Paragraph. It is the position of the Washington Committee that, in its present form, the current crypt display is an unprecedented instance of the use of the Capitol building in parentheses, property of all Americans, underlined all, close parentheses, for a one-sided political statement by a private individual, namely H. Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire. Perot evaded the federal statute, and they cited in parentheses 40 U.S. Code, paragraph 189, close parent, which prohibits the exhibition of displays in the United States Capitol, which are not the property of the United States, by giving his exhibit to Congressman Clement Zablocki, Democrat, Wisconsin, before whose House Subcommittee on National Security Policy and Scientific Developments, Perot had testified on the POW issue. Zablocki, in turn, successfully gained an unprecedented approval from the Speaker of the House and the Chairman of the Senate Rules and Administration Committee for the Perot display to appear in the crypt until Labor Day. John Sullivan told him until after Labor Day. Paragraph. While the Washington Committee to put the prisoner of war issue in perspective is in complete sympathy with the plight of American prisoners of war and their families, it feels just as resolutely that the current display should be expanded to depict the horrors which are inflicted upon all, underline all, sides in the Indochina War. The intended implication thus would be more vividly portrayed that the only way to stop such atrocities from occurring is to end the war immediately. Paragraph. As the recent Kansan Island Tiger Cage expose pointed out, atrocities are being perpetrated upon enemy POWs and political prisoners by the South Vietnamese with American acquiescence. The Washington Committee is preparing a display which includes actual photographs of the Kansan disclosures. Panels approximately 3.5 by 12 feet will also show other closely related effects of American presence in Indochina, such as the results of American napalm bombing, the tragic maiming of American GIs, and South Vietnamese torture of communist prisoners of war. Paragraph, we almost get to the end. The committee will present at this news conference a smaller version of the large display which it is in process of constructing. The finished display will be unveiled at another press conference in the very near future. Paragraph. Now get this, Murphy. Sympathetic senators and representatives are being sought who will accept the committee's display as United States property, as did Representative Zablocki with the Perot exhibit. If Speaker McCormick and Rules Committee Chairman Jordan then reject the request of these Congress for the placement of the committee's display side by side with the Perot exhibit, the National Capital Area Chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union will challenge the denial of the constitutional rights involved. Paragraph and last. Also to be revealed at the Friday news conference will be the preliminary findings of the Washington's Committee ongoing investigation of H. Ross Perot's extra-humanitarian motivations vis-a-vis the POW issue. End of story. Now, I can send that to you especially every year mail.
I would love to have a copy of that if I could.
I gave three copies to Mr. Perot. One was for you.
Well, he will have them then. He's coming in tonight.
Fine.
So there's no need of your sending one. He will have them.
Fine. Well, I gave him three copies. He was at first disturbed. And then he said, well, maybe it'll be good publicity to call attention to our exhibit, this business, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I took it that he was just a little disappointed in the publicity you were getting on the exhibit. I wouldn't be too worried about it, though, because I know my brother-in-law is the sergeant-at-arms of the House, and he keeps me posted. See, the Capitol Architect's Office has jurisdiction over the display.
Yes.
And they tell me there are tens of thousands of people have seen that display.
Yes.
Now, I've talked to my friends in the papers. They say, unfortunately, the display is in such a position that it's tough to photograph.
Mm-hmm.
Although the AP did send out a story, which I saw, a wire photo story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we wanted to do, Murphy, and that's one reason I wanted to call you, Father Lyons told me he doesn't know about this, of course. I was going to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is outrageous just between us. They're trying to capitalize on this, you see.
Right.
He wanted me to write a story about it, too, get a photographer over and get the best pictures we could, and just write about the crowds. And the way we would do that, Murphy, we would publish it in Twin Circle. And incidentally, strictly off the record, next week we're going to announce the merger with one of the largest Catholic papers with a circulation of about 500,000 or 600,000.
Wonderful.
And we'll have about maybe around 700,000 or 800,000. We'll be the largest... and hopefully the most influential and powerful Catholic paper. Now, when I say Catholic, I mean that embraces all the things that we stand for, because we,
mm-hmm.
you know, we support what you support, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a very ecumenical staff. You know, we have a Jewish vice president. We have all sorts of Protestants and Jews on our staff. And we get along wonderfully well, which we should, you see.
Right.
Because we're all working for the same goal. Now, I'm very delighted with it. We're going to announce it probably the early part of the week. This is strictly between us. We haven't announced it yet. And we'll be in a much more strategic position to do some good on this, because what we do, I will take the story that I'll write myself, and I will write a news story based on it, and I will distribute it around my contacts in Washington. I have about 300 of them, you see.
Mm-hmm.
At least they'll know about this exhibit. That's the point.
Right.
Not about us so much. We're not forget us. But, I mean, we want to call attention to the exhibit and the fact that we'll have to get a rule of thumb estimate from the architect of the Capitol's office how many people have visited that exhibit. I would say certainly several hundred thousand, if not more.
Right.
Mr. Pro told me that they intend to. You have a duplicate exhibit, don't you, at the Texas State Fair?
Well, we're going to, yes.
And he said there's been tremendous interest in it, and he said they're, when it finishes here, they'll probably exhibit at other state fairs, which I think is a hell of a smart idea.
Yes.
You
yes.
see, and also he told me that the Northeast Vietnamese were very disturbed when it was first announced.
Yes.
And that they had sent a couple of emissaries from Europe to talk to him about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. And also he said that if they tried to discontinue the exhibits now, that the wives would they'd exhibit it themselves. They're so interested in it, you see.
Right, that's true.
And, well, I'm delighted because, you know, like all of you, my hat is off to those gals. I mean,
they've done a fantastic job.
Oh, gee, their husband's courage is rubbed off on them, I'm telling you.
That's true.
And that's what I wanted to include in this story now. But so, if you have anything dealing with the background of it, I went over there the other day and I copied whoever wrote the text did a fine job, Murphy.
Good.
An excellent job.
Good.
I mean, it tells the story graphically and simply, so anybody can understand it, you see.
Right.
And I talked to the Capitol Architects people, and they were the ones that told me there have been droves through there. They've had a few complaints. Of course, that's an old leftist tactic, you know. They'll,
mm-hmm.
Where the rightists won't, the conservatives, rarely express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The leftists will go in there and raise hell, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening here. Now, I would be delighted to do this for you. As I said, I intend to cover it tomorrow, just to see when the hell is behind
us. If you will keep me posted on what happens, we'll deeply appreciate it, John.
I'll be glad to do it, Murphy. And I'll try to get you copies of everything they hand out, you see.
Very good. It's so good to talk to you again, and I look forward to hearing from you tomorrow.
Wonderful. And meanwhile, if you have any material that you think would fit into this little feature story I want to do,
I'll get a packet together and forward it to you.
Would
I have
you
your address.
And any pictures you have, too.
Yes, I do.
And any little things. Now, I didn't whether Mr. Pro told me that in confidence about the North Vietnamese, you know.
Right.
I things like that, I don't want to embarrass you. You understand.
Right.
And also, the fact that you propose there's a possibility of exhibiting at state fairs.
That's right.
And also that the anything else that you think that would enhance
I'll put it together and get it to you, John.
Murphy, I'll appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
And I will get this to you. You don't work Saturday, do you?
Yes, I do.
Well, I'll stick it in the airmail space delivery and look for it Saturday in your office. As soon as you finish, come back to my office tomorrow. I'll put it in the mail to you.
John,
whatever I can get from this place.
I appreciate it.
And I'll keep you fully posted on it.
Thank you, sir.
Be my pleasure.
Bye now.
Thanks. Bye.
operator on the first number, did they say that was his residence? Hello? Operator?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be answering.
Yes, on the first one, did they say that was his residence or that this was his residence, or did they say?
I think that this is the residence. She says he is home, she said to me. She didn't speak too very well.
Mm-hmm.
She says he's not here, he is home. And she gave me the number.
I see.
Which is, you mm-hmm. want me to try that in an hour or a half hour?
Yes, why don't you try it in, say, 40 minutes at 5:30 your time.
All right, I'll call you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I covered the meeting today.
Uh-huh.
And I got this, the principle, the bulk of it is in a statement made by the...
Hello?
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 Yeah. Would you please put Mr. Martin on the line?
Speaking.
Yeah. Oh, you on the line, Mr. Martin?
Yes, I am.
No, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Hang up the phone. Let me call you again. We have to get a better connection.
Thank you.
Okay, now you wanted to know what time did he leave?
Yes, when did he leave Sweden, and is he reachable by phone?
I asked the lady that before, but I let her tell you. Miss, hello?
Yeah?
Would you please repeat what you said before about the call party?
Yes, he left yesterday. He will be back on Sunday.
He'll be back on Sunday?
Yes.
Is he out of the country?
Yes, he is, but I couldn't tell you where he is.
I see.
I'm sorry about that. I
couldn't
do it.
And he's not reachable by phone?
No. Not before Sunday. But...
Operator, could you ascertain if this is his wife and if perhaps she has a message for me? If so, I will talk with her, but I...
Hello?
Yes, I'm his wife, but...
Yes, it is his wife. He wants to know if you have a message for him. If so, he will speak to you.
Well, the only message I have is that he will phone Mr. Martin on Sunday when he comes back.
On Sunday?
Yes, when he comes back.
When he gets back?
Yes.
I wonder if he, operator, is he reachable? Is he in Asia? Could I try to reach him there?
Well, sir, she said she didn't know, you know. Miss, do you know where he is?
No, not exactly. I don't
not
know.
Not exactly, but do you have a guess?
Hello?
Mr. Martin?
Yes?
Thank you. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Martin?
Yes?
This is Stephen Greenfield calling from Washington.
Yes, Mr. Greenfield.
I'm the undergraduate from University of Wisconsin. I read
Wrote.
Right.
How are things going?
Very well, very well.
Great.
I'm still very much interested in doing a story on Mr. Perot's exhibit in the Capitol. And I had a few other questions I thought maybe you might be willing to help me out with. I was wondering first if you could tell me if United We Stand is a tax-exempt organization.
No, it is not.
It is not?
No.
Okay. Oh, great. Okay. I thought it was. And I was wondering if you could tell me when United We Stand was created. On what day?
Oh, I don't have that before me because I didn't join the organization until about February of this year, you see.
I see. Could you approximate, like, is it 2 years old or 3 years old or...
I think it's less than 2 years old, but I would have to go back to the records to find out when it exactly came into being.
Uh-huh. Well, the third thing I was wondering is if Colonel Borman... in February I read that he was hired by Mr. Perot to take an active part in the American Horizons Foundation. And I was wondering if you could tell me if Colonel Borman has indeed appeared on some of the television broadcasts which that organization has sponsored.
Well, American Horizons has not sponsored any broadcasts or telecasts as yet.
Uh-huh.
There's been nothing produced by them. And what happens in the future remains to be seen regarding what they plan.
Is Colonel Borman still now in the employ of Mr. Perot?
I believe Colonel Borman is in the employ of Eastern Airlines. I believe he's a vice president with them.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm a little confused. Why was it reported in the media, I think in about February of this year, that Colonel Borman had accepted a job with Electronic Data Systems?
I'm not quite sure about that. I know at one time that Colonel Borman was hoping to join this organization full-time, and also that we are still looking for him for guidance if American Horizons becomes a reality, that he might very well be involved in that.
Uh-huh.
Just as an advisor, not as a full-time employee.
I
think probably what would be best for you, if you could find the time, would be just to come by en route back to Wisconsin, come by Dallas and talk with us, see our operation, or perhaps talk with Mr. Perot directly. He is a very easy man to talk with. I'm sure he'd be happy to talk with you.
Uh-huh. Okay, tremendous. I was wondering, would you mind, I don't mind holding, if you could possibly get from me the approximate date that United We Stand was formed. Would that be at all possible?
Well, I have someone in the office now, Mr. Greenfield, and I would be unable to leave them.
I see. Okay, fine.
I pulled away from a conference in order to...
I'm sorry I disturbed you. Well, thank you very much for your help, sir.
You're quite welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I reach your number in Stockholm, and your call party will not return to this number until Monday.
Is he reachable by phone, operator?
No, there is no way to reach him by phone, and the lady do not know where he is, as of this moment, because I asked her that before.
Mm-hmm. When did he leave? Is he not in Stockholm, and where is he?
One moment. Let me call you on another circuit because you have a bad circuit here.
All right, good. Thank you.